Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
So today is a good day. It's the 1st of March, right? But also we're kicking off our 5-week Easter series, and it's titled From Death to Life, right? I'm excited because you know what? In these next 5 weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to introduce you to 5 very relatable people who literally went from death to life when they met Jesus. How many of you know that when you have an encounter with Jesus, you are never the same? It's true. It's true. I don't know what you used to be doing, but once Jesus touches you, you are not the same. You don't see things the same. You're not the same. And you know what? So Pastor Bob and I have been praying fervently that during these 5 weeks leading up to Easter, that all of us are going to have a new, fresh encounter with the Lord, and that we're going to be changed from the inside out forever. Amen? You know what? Before I get started, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your house. I thank you for the people here that have come to worship you and worship you with all of their hearts and their minds and their souls. Father, I thank you that you are with us. And Lord, I just ask you to put a watch over my mouth. Let me speak what you would have me speak. Father, I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the breath in my lung. I surrender it to you, Father. I ask you to push me out of the way and have your way. And I pray, Lord, that your words coming forth today will change us all from the inside out forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you ahead of time. Amen. Amen. So if you brought your Bibles today, y'all brought y'all paper Bibles, right? Yes, thank you. So if you brought them, open them up to the New Testament, and we're going to go to the book of Mark. We're going to start in chapter 1. Now, the story we're about to read is actually found in 3 of the 4 Gospels. Now, that's significant. That's significant, y'all, because it means that this story has multiple eyewitness accounts, which kind of gives us a 3-dimensional view of what actually took place. And today, we're going to be looking at a man that was considered unclean, basically as good as dead, but one encounter with Jesus took him from unclean to clean, from death to life. And this is a story of the leper. So let's read it together from the Gospel according to Mark. We're going to start chapter 1, verse 40, and this is what it says. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees. In other words, this man with leprosy threw himself down at the feet of Jesus and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And this next verse says, Jesus was indignant. Now, I want to pause here because I want to point out something about that word indignant. You know, a couple of weeks ago at our Wednesday night service, we talked about the importance of studying the Bible in context and checking the meaning of certain words that might stand out to you, right? And in this verse, the word indignant has a very unique meaning. Normally, when we hear that word, we think it means maybe somebody's a little annoyed or aggravated or just kind of, you know, had a little attitude about something. But in this context, it means that Jesus was upset over an injustice, something that wasn't right, just wasn't right. A man with leprosy, a highly contagious disease, had been removed from his community, from his family, and he was literally sent off to die in a leper's colony. And that moved Jesus. But also, Jesus saw this man's desperation, y'all. That man was willing to take a huge risk and approach Jesus because he wanted to be healed. He was desperate to be healed. This man knew he wasn't supposed to do that. He wasn't supposed to leave that colony, much less go near anyone. But that bold act of faith by a desperately sick man that moved Jesus to indignance. Let's keep reading. It says he, talking about Jesus, reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You know, you got to love Jesus. He can speak it into existence. That's what the Lord did when he created this world. He spoke it. That is powerful. He don't got to touch it. Sometimes he will. Sometimes he'll spit on you, throw some dirt on you. But no. He speaks things into existence and it happens. But my first point this morning is that Jesus sees the unseen. Everyone else had written this man off. He was sent away to die, y'all. Alone, forgotten, unseen. Nobody wanted to fool with him. His disease was incurable. Nobody wanted to deal with that. So they abandoned him. Out of sight, out of mind, right? Because here's the thing. The world avoids what is messy. It avoids what's messy. You know, I just read an article the other day about how it was a study done back in the 50s that people were noticing that children who went to school and they were clean and matching clothes and looked all put together, they were treated better than children who went to school dirty with their hair jacked up and looking messy. The world avoids what's messy. But Jesus doesn't. He doesn't move away from the hard, messy things. Jesus moves towards it. Even in our own lives, look at your own life. You don't always want to deal with our struggles like we should, right? It's almost like we think, well, if we just ignore this, it'll go away. And we do that because healing is messy and it's a process. It's a process and we don't want to do it. So we turn to other things. Things that we think are going to give us quicker relief or that will distract us from having to deal with the real issues. But here's the deal. And if you're taking notes, you might want to write this one down. Deferred healing will never set you free. The day will come when we can no longer outrun the problem. And people will start to notice something's off. Your work will suffer. Your relationships will suffer. It'll affect your everyday life. Because when we avoid dealing with the hard things, it cripples our lives. The leper was crippled by his disease. But you know what? He was tired of living like that. He was sick of the pain in his body. He was done with being alienated from life, being sent away unseen. He was done with that. And he believed that if he could just get to Jesus, that Jesus would see him and be moved to help him. The man had faith, so he acted on his faith. You see, that's the key. Faith in action. That's the key. Passive faith, that's pointless. It's not even faith. That's more like a wish or a dream. Oh, I'm believing for what you're doing. You're just believing? Passive faith says, God will heal me. God will bring me exactly what I want. I don't have anything to do but hope and pray, and God will make it happen just like I want it. Well, let me give you a big shocker here. That ain't faith. That's not faith. That's treating God like a genie in a bottle. Y'all could just look, amen. It's all right. When you do that, you're thinking that all you got to do is ask God for whatever you want and poof, it'll magically appear. Now, on the other hand, if you're out there trying this, trying that, moving stuff around, trying to do whatever you can to get temporary relief, oh, it may work. It may give you temporary relief, but that's not going to get to the root of the problem. So you know what? The issue will keep coming right back up. The Bible says very clearly, faith without works is dead. That means we have to put action behind our faith. Even salvation requires faith with action. Think about it. You can believe Jesus is Lord all you want, but what you got to act on that faith. You got to actually ask him to be your savior. That's the action. We do have a part to play in our cleansing, in our healing. Faith will lead us to believe that Jesus can cleanse us, but then we actually have to move towards Jesus to be cleansed. That's what this leper man did. He knew that Jesus could heal him. But he also knew that if that was going to happen, he couldn't stay in the leper's colony anymore. He couldn't stay where he was. For some of us, the leper's colony is the environment we've created so we don't have to change. I'm preaching. Y'all breathe. Go on and breathe. Sorry. You know why we do that? Because it's so much easier to live in our sin than to face it, repent, and let Jesus bring healing. Did you know that in the Bible, the word unclean and sin are used interchangeably? Yeah. Living wounded because we won't deal with our stuff, that makes us unclean. And it's a sin. You know why? Because we're deliberately rejecting the healing work of Jesus in our life. That's a choice. And you know, it can look something like this. Refusing to get involved in your church community. And let others here hold you accountable for your spiritual growth. Accountability is uncomfortable, y'all. Nobody wants nobody telling them what to do. But you know what? This leper man, this man with leprosy, finally came to the realization that he wasn't really comfortable. So he took a step of faith and reached out to Jesus. He didn't want comfort, y'all. He wanted cleansing. He did not want comfort. He wanted cleansing. Have you ever considered that you don't need temporary comfort? You need cleansing. Healing. Because if you'll get to that point, you are going to be right smack dab in the middle of God's will. You see, it's God's will that we are healed. Jesus wants to cleanse us, not just comfort us. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." That means Jesus doesn't just stop at feeling bad for you or being indignant by your struggle or your pain or your sickness or your sin. No, he wants to comfort you, but he also wants to be complete and total restoration, amen. Healing. So good. This verse also tells us it's a lifelong process.
That's right.
Until the day of Jesus Christ means until your time on this earth is over. There's going to be a cleansing and healing process that Jesus wants to take you through because he wants to restore you.
Yeah,
so do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, come on now.
We're waiting for relief and Jesus wants to heal.
Come on.
Yeah, so we be turning to stuff. We turn into this, turn into that, moving things around, trying to get comfortable without even considering Jesus or what maybe he wants to do. I mean, and I'm not saying you're not turning to Jesus for comfort. I don't know what you're doing. I don't. I'm not a mind reader and I ain't up in your house in your business. But what I am saying is that Jesus is more concerned with your healing than he is with your comfort. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, unclean sin, interchangeably, unrighteousness. That's not right standing with God. Jesus knows that comfort without cleansing is temporary because it leaves the infection. The wound is still there. Think about it. When you get a blister on your heel, what happens if you don't put some kind of medicine on it and a Band-Aid? Probably gets infected, right? At a minimum, you can't walk right. You got to change what shoes you're wearing, right? The same thing is true for us when we don't deal with our inner wounds, y'all. They affect everything and everyone around us. Hurting people hurt people.
Yes, that's right.
Hurting people hurt people. You know, when God called me to ministry many, many, many years ago, I was so excited. I was like, yes, Lord, I will do it. Yes, yes. And I was terrified at the same time. I knew. I know me. Don't nobody know you better than you, okay? I know me. I know there were some things in my life that needed to change. Some things I had been leaning on instead of Jesus, and I had to get with God and handle that. But that hadn't stopped. That wasn't a one and done, y'all. It ain't going to be for y'all either. It's not a one and done. It's a process, because sin is a lifelong process. Healing from sin is a lifelong process. You know, I can go from God to gangster like that. It's not a good thing. Might be funny, but it's not a good thing. And you know what? The devil stays trying to trigger me because he knows what. Anyway. So I have to keep surrendering, y'all. I have to surrender my mind. I have to surrender my attitude. I have to surrender my mouth to the Lord constantly. And it's not easy. But see, sometimes Jesus exposes an unhealed wound, and all I want is relief. I'm like, Lord, just help me, Jesus. Help me. Give me some comfort. And he's like, nah, girl, we're going to get that out. You jacked up right there. It's not easy, y'all. And there's times I don't want to go through that cleansing process. But friends, you got to resist the temptation to not work things out with the Lord. It's a temptation, because if you don't, your wounds will fester and contaminate your entire life. You'll start calling good evil and evil good. In other words, you may begin to resent the very things you prayed to God for. Take, for example, your job. You prayed for that job, and then when they hired you, you were so excited. Think about it. But something happened at work, and it's triggering an unhealed wound in you. Maybe the job has gotten more demanding. Maybe you got a new boss and you don't like her, him, whatever. You don't like them. They're not for you. But instead of going to Jesus and asking him to show what's going on in you, you're just trying to quit the job. I'm going to bounce. Sometimes when a spiritual wound isn't cleansed, it can even lead you to dishonor or treat with indifference the things of God. For example, maybe you prayed for God to send good, godly friends into your life, people that would help you grow in your walk with Jesus. But when they try to speak truth into your situation, you get offended. You have to get past wanting to be comfortable, y'all, and be willing to allow Jesus to cleanse you from some stuff, from the things that keep us stuck in patterns that aren't helping us grow closer to God. All of us struggle with this. Remember, Jesus knows that comfort without cleansing leaves the infection. And in John 10:10, it tells us very clearly, Jesus came to give us an abundant life. And it's not just talking about in heaven. It's talking about right now on earth. And part of that abundant life means living free from the prison of inner wounds. You see, God has a plan for your life. There's a purpose. You weren't just put on this earth to take up space. No, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, something he wants you to do to forward his kingdom. And if you'll be willing to let Jesus cleanse you completely, two things are going to happen. Jesus will give you a new identity, and he'll give you a new mission. That's a good thing. That's worth clapping for. It's like a good place for a water break. See, once this man with leprosy was healed, he was no longer known as the leper. He was known as a man with a testimony. Turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 43. This is what it says. And this was after Jesus healed him. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, this man got a little rebellion in him. Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed in the lonely places. Yet, the people still came to him from everywhere. Now, these verses, they trip some people up a little bit. So let me just explain to you what's going on here. Jesus told this man not to tell anyone about what happened, but to follow the law or the protocol as it pertained to being cleansed of leprosy. Now, he's referring to the law of Moses found in the book of Leviticus, right? There's all these things you're supposed to do when you've got this, that, and the other. And the law said this man was supposed to go to the priest, offer a certain sacrifice, and then the priest would then certify that God truly had healed him. That was the protocol. However, this leper wasn't about the protocol. We already know that. He already busted out of the leper's collar. He didn't even care what was going to happen and ran straight to Jesus. That was breaking the rules right there. He wasn't about the rules. But you know what? Jesus knew that. He knew what this man was going to do. And this man didn't need no priest to tell him he was healed. He knew he was healed. He knew he was healed. His skin became normal. His limbs came back on him. He didn't need the priest to certify it like the law said he had to do. And you know what? Jesus knew he was healed because he's the one that did the healing. He is the law. That's right. So even though Jesus told this guy not to tell anybody about what happened, can you imagine how this man felt? He's like, I'm sorry, Jesus, but I got to tell everybody. I got to tell everybody and anybody and Ray Ray and them and their mama and everybody because this is too good to keep quiet. Oh, in the very last verse, it says, because of this man's testimony, Jesus couldn't go anywhere without people approaching him, wanting the same cleansing, healing, deliverance, and freedom. And Jesus knew that was coming. Don't think that was a surprise to him. Ain't nothing a surprise to the Lord. He knew. You know why? Because Jesus knew his mission. Luke 4:18, Jesus said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." Who in here is poor in spirit? Oh, Jesus got good news for you. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Somebody here locked up in a prison or something? Jesus came to set you free. And recovery of the sight to the blind. What are you not seeing? Jesus wants to open your eyes and to set the oppressed free. Jesus knew that the word had to get out about him so that he could fulfill his mission on earth. And he knew why this man didn't follow protocol. This is the biggest one right here. Jesus understood why this man didn't follow the protocol. Never forget, God always looks at our hearts. Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew that this man was desperate, yet he still had faith. He had so much faith that he was willing to break all the rules if it meant he could finally be cleansed and set free. Jesus knew that. He knew the man's heart. Let me ask you this. What do you need cleansing from? And are you willing to break the rules? Maybe even your own rules of what you will and will not do. What are you willing to break the rules for to be free? Let me just say, Jesus knows what you're struggling with, and he wants to cleanse you. But are you willing to be cleansed? You know, it may mean that you got to stop pretending everything's fine. You may have to turn away from that toxic relationship. Stop trying to fix them and let Jesus fix you. You might have to bust out of those walls of self-preservation that you've built around your heart to keep others out. And you're for sure going to have to let go of some pride, shame, guilt. Whatever has been holding you back, are you so done with that that you're willing to run to Jesus, fall at his feet, just like this leper did? If you will believe and trust Jesus, he will cleanse you. He will heal you. And he doesn't stop there. He will restore everything you lost. God can restore time, y'all. Time is in his hands. He could turn the clock back. You think you lost some stuff? It's too late. No. Time is in the hands of the Lord. He can restore. There is nothing too difficult for God. But you know what? If you just want comfort, Jesus can do that too. But he'd much rather heal you. He wants to heal you so that your life will be changed forever. You see, God has a mission for you. And your personal testimony is going to be part of it. Yeah, you can sit around and talk about how good God is and, oh, God is great. You got to believe it. But you know what? When others actually see with their own eyes what God has done in your life, that's the proof. That's the proof. This leper experienced for himself what it looks like to go from death to life. He needed cleansing that only Jesus could give him. Where do you need cleansing that only Jesus can bring? Maybe it's unforgiveness. You think you've forgiven them, but you're still walking wounded. That's why you really don't trust people. I know this. I live this. Somewhere along the line, you were hurt so deep that unforgiveness is lingering there, and you won't even trust Jesus to cleanse and heal that brokenness. Maybe you're struggling in your thoughts. You're afraid, angry, frustrated, maybe depressed, overwhelmed. Maybe you've been reaching out to Jesus. You're quoting scripture, you're believing and you're trusting, but you just really want comfort when you really need cleansing. Brandon, if you'll come, everybody can breathe and they'll think I'm finishing. Remember, and I want to say this with all the love in my heart. Just remember, anytime we refuse to let Jesus cleanse us, that's a sin. It's because we are agreeing with Satan about our condition. And when we do that, it opens doors for the enemy to bring even more chaos into our lives. Let me just tell you real quick, in case you've forgotten, the devil is slick. He's very tricky. Sometimes this stuff happens and we don't even know what's going on. That's how it happened to me. I grew up with a mom who wasn't tender and affectionate. She just wasn't. That's not her fault. She grew up like that too. And her mama grew up like that. And her aunties grew up like that. She didn't know any better. But the devil didn't care about that. He wasn't interested in the reasons why. No. He saw an opportunity to possibly destroy my life, and he took it. He's not going to give us mercy, y'all. If you think the devil's not going to come at you, think again. He's slick and he's tricky. Remember, his mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's not going to wait till we get grown to do that. No. The devil starts the moment you are conceived. Why do you think people abort children? That is not them. That is the devil. Do not get it twisted. He starts in the womb. He doesn't want that life that God created. So he used my mom, my precious mama. I bless her in Jesus' name. She taught me a lot of good stuff. But he used my mom and her lack of affection and tenderness to plant seeds of rejection in my heart as a little bitty child. As a child, y'all. And every single time I was bullied growing up, the roots of those seeds, there were lies that were planted. Those seeds of lies got deeper and stronger. And eventually, they grew into a belief that I was unworthy of affection or love. I had literally agreed with the lies of the enemy. And when I came into agreement with him, that was the sin. Did I know it at the time? No. But that doesn't mean I didn't give the enemy permission to come into my life and try to destroy it. And he tried. Oh, did he try? I believed his lies. I believed his lies about who I was, and I made bad choices for years. Don't talk to my girls, they'll tell you the stories. Bad choices. Choices that didn't honor God, but only fed my flesh, which is what I thought I needed at the time. I wanted to feel better. I wanted to feel love. I wanted to feel acceptance. And every single bad choice I made led to even more sin and more pain. And I'll never forget the night that I had had enough. One night at Lakewood Church. Done with the pain. I was done with the trail of tears I had left in my wake. People I hurt, my own hurt, mistakes. I was done with the anger in my heart. Oh, I was so ferociously angry all the time. I was done with that. And so I did just like the leper did. I ran to Jesus. I didn't care who was looking. I ran to that altar. Oh, I thank God for Joel Osteen and his ministry. Don't nobody in here ever let me hear you talk a mess about Lakewood Church. You save that for yourself. Take it to Jesus. Because of that pastor and that church and me being there in that moment, I'm here right now. I'm here right now. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You used this young man to draw me to the truth. And Jesus comforted me in my pain. But he didn't stop there, y'all. Jesus showed me what was really going on. Because why? Because I asked him to. Oh, you got to get that. You got to get that. Here's the key. We have to ask him to expose our wounds. Give him permission to be the great physician he is. You could say he's the great physician, but are you willing to give him the scalpel? Because here's the thing. Jesus is not going to invade our space. He's a gentleman. The Bible says, I stand at the door knocking. You gonna open it? He's a gentleman. That's mercy. That's love. He wants us to turn to him. He's not gonna force us on. He forced himself on us. So when I asked Jesus to heal me, he's like, all right, you better buckle up. And he started exposing the lies that I had come into agreement with. He showed me the deep wounds in my soul, in my heart, that were driving me to sin. And as he did that, I released all the grudges I was holding on to. I repented of my sin, and I received his forgiveness. Man, that's, oh, I got to stay here for a minute. Some of y'all will not receive his forgiveness. You've asked for his forgiveness. You believe he can forgive you, but you got to receive it. You got to receive it. A gift is only good if you open it and receive it and do something with it. Oh, you got to receive his forgiveness. Now I'm going to warn you. Getting healing, it's a painful and difficult process, but it's worth it. Freedom is always worth the fight. Freedom's not free, but it's worth the fight. Not just for you, but for those that God has placed in your life, because you know what? He wants to use you to influence others for Jesus. Had I not submitted to the process, and I'm going to tell you, there were days, oh, Pastor Bob can tell you, even after we were married and I was following Jesus with my whole heart, there were days that I would lay on the floor in the closet and just travail. Oh, Lord, what are you doing now? And it was painful and it was hard. But had I not submitted to that process, I would not be walking in my God-given calling, and I wouldn't be up here talking to you right now about the goodness and the restoration of Jesus Christ. If you're struggling with something and you can't seem to get free from it and you're tired of trying to fix it on your own, run to Jesus. Run to him. And instead of asking him for comfort, ask him to expose what's going on. And then be willing to work with him. Be willing to work with him through the process so that you too can be cleansed and brought back to life. Right now is a great time to do that. It's a great day for that. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the word says. Jesus is here. and he wants to bring you back from death to life, to cleanse you, to heal you, to change your identity from unclean, from hurting, from broken, to healed, whole, and set free. Amen. Will you bow your heads? Lord, we love you so much. We just love you, God. You're so good. You're so merciful. And we thank you for your grace. Your grace has been covering us our entire lives. And we thank you for that, Lord. We're still here today, breathing, walking, talking, living because of your grace and your mercy. And we thank you. But Lord, I ask you right now to reach out to anyone here today who feels less than, not good enough, unworthy. Maybe they feel like damaged goods. God, wrap your arms around them and let them know that you see them. You want to cleanse them, but they're going to have to let you. Father, may your Holy Spirit draw anyone who has a wound, the brokenness, the pain, the hurting. Let your Holy Spirit draw them unto you, into your loving arms right now. Bring healing to those wounded areas. Even if they don't see them, God, you do. Wash them and bind up their wounds, Lord. And may a spirit of repentance fall down on this church right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And in the mighty name of Jesus and in his authority, I stand against pride. I stand against guilt. I stand against shame, self-righteousness, anything that is holding people back from reaching out to you right now. I stand against it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak peace to troubled minds. I speak peace to hurting hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, in the only name that's above all names that brings healing and cleansing and wholeness. And in the name of Jesus, I speak to fear and anxiety right now. And I command you to flee. I cancel your assignment against God's people right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to expose wounds, release your healing, and set the captives free in Jesus' name.